Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Gold and Jeff Hyatt.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed feast of the Apostle St. Andrew. And what a glorious feast and a very noble apostle. Of course, he's brother of Peter, Cephas. How special is it to be the first called? In a sense, Jesus' mission begins with Andrew, with St. Andrew. His Jesus' salvific work to restore humanity and creation, to establish the kingdom and the church, all begins, in a sense, with Andrew. I had the chance to read a bit of his Synaxarion, and I thought there were a few passages that stood out to me. The amount of suffering and his dedication to Christ is, comes through, as it does with all the apostles. He suffered under a certain man by the name of Aegetes, who was a ruler in Patras, in the Peloponnesian Peninsula in Greece, right at the north end of that. And Andrew was crucified upside down. And during this whole process, he's confessing Christ, and Andrew is, and refusing to recant. Aegetes says, "I am astonished that you, an intelligent man," ad hominem here, "that you, an intelligent man, follows one whom thou dost admit was crucified on a cross. It is all the same whether it was done voluntarily or involuntarily." The apostle answered, "Great is the mystery of the cross, and if thou wouldst deign to listen, I shall tell thee of it." Aegetes retorted, "This is no mystery, but the execution of a malefactor." But the holy Andrew responded, "This execution is the mystery of man's renewal. Only deign to listen patiently to me." As we look at the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians from St. Paul, this dig here, an intelligent man, right? What intelligent man would follow a crucified Savior? But there's more to the Christian faith than kind of worldly wisdom or worldly intellect, of course. Then, as again, Andrew's being crucified, says, "Then Aegetes, fearing the people, went straightway with them to take Andrew down from the cross. But Andrew, seeing Aegetes, said, 'Wherefore hast thou come hither, Aegetes? If thou dost wish to believe in Christ, the portal of grace will be opened to thee, as I have promised. But if thou hast come only to take me down from the cross, I do not wish to be taken from the cross alive. For I already see my King, I already worship him, I already stand before him. Yet I suffer for thee because the everlasting perdition prepared for thee awaits thee. Take care of thyself while thou mayest, lest thou shouldst desire to begin when thou art no longer able to do so." When the servants went to untie Andrew from the cross, they were unable to touch him. Indeed, a great many other people, one after another, tried to untie him, but were unable because their hands became numb. Therefore, the holy Andrew cried with a loud voice, "O Lord Jesus Christ, do not allow me to be taken down from the cross on which I have been suspended for thy name. But receive me, O my teacher, whom I have loved, whom I have known, whom I confess, whom I desire to see, through whom I have become what I am. O Lord Jesus Christ, receive my spirit in peace. For the time has come for me to go to thee and look upon thee whom I have so ardently desired. Receive me, O good teacher, and do not permit me to be taken down over soon from the cross before thou receivest my spirit." After saying these words, he expires, becomes a martyr for the faith. Truly a compelling account, and how privileged we are to be heirs of his apostolic witness and of all the apostles. And keep it, reflecting back on the epistle, 1 Corinthians, and then the gospel lesson, I just thought I'd offer a few meager words under 3 points. The first being, the life of the Christian is to be one of imitating the apostles. We see in the gospel account, it's one of divine, the life of imitating the apostles is one of divine calling. We share in the apostolic call, right? We follow, Paul talks about imitating him, St. Paul. We are called to imitate the apostles. So it's a divine calling to imitate the apostles as they imitate Christ. Equally, it's one of our own preparation. The Synaxarian talks about Andrew disdaining, before he was called, of course he was a disciple of John the Baptist, before he became a disciple of Christ, he disdained the vanity of this world and preferred virginity to matrimony. So he's a dedicated ascetic, sort of monastic, living the ascetic life. And then this theme of studying the scriptures, we see that especially with Philip, but with also the others, that they were dedicated Jews who read the scriptures looking for the Messiah. So they were preparing themselves, following John the Baptist, reading the scriptures, living the ascetic life to receive Christ when he came. So the nature of this call is to become a spectacle. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that the Greek word is theatron. So where we get the word theater from, right? We are called to become a sort of theater, a living parable, an enacted parable, that a living drama that exposes the world for what it is and embodies authentic humanity as the alternative. And one of the main ways we do this is asceticism. We intentionally try to cultivate a manner of life that is an alternative, represents an alternative to the vices and the passions that we see around us. And through that, embody authentic humanity. It is also this calling, this imitation of the apostles, is one of divine action. So God puts us forth, Paul says. He demonstrates us. He shows us forth as he puts us on exhibit as a living embodiment, a living proclamation of the gospel. And it is on a cosmic stage that this takes place. God is proclaiming and manifesting the gospel through us to all of creation, seen and unseen, hostile demonic powers. And that, of course, is why this life is a spiritual warfare. Our success is their defeat, so hence they war against us. We should be concerned then when there is no struggle, right? And we should be concerned if and when the world starts to like what we have to say, right? So Andrew and Paul and all the apostles meet this basic resistance and persecution. And so our disposition, we need to be constantly reflecting on, well, St. Peter in one of his epistles talks about suffering for the right reasons, right? Of course, it's possible to suffer, but to do so because you're breaking the law or whatever. And then on the other hand, there's authentic Christian suffering, which is salvific for us and for the world. So when we start to try to define who and what we are as Orthodox Christians by things outside of ourselves, trying to curry favor or whatever, outside of our holy tradition, then we're headed away from imitating the apostles who did not do that. The second heading, this language of beholding the Lamb, right? John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. So as the world watches us, our eyes are to be fixed on Jesus and the apostles as we imitate them. So discipleship, allegiance to Christ, for Andrew meant a move from what was good, John the Baptist, to what was better and best, right? Christ. So we see this process of seeking and finding in Andrew and, of course, in the other apostles called at the beginning of John's gospel. So there's this constant process of seeking and finding Jesus. We imitate the apostles, we find him, and yet we are continually seeking Jesus in our lives. And sometimes it feels like God hides his face from us, the psalmist talks about. and the writer of Lamentations, we think of Job, or the Jesus cried from the cross, and quoting Psalm 21. So, yes, we found him, and yet at times we feel like God is, or Jesus is hiding himself from us, and yet, so we're compelled to keep searching and keep imitating the apostles and searching and finding him. So our task as imitators of St. Andrew and the other apostles, such as Peter and Philip, Nathaniel, is to be prepared for Christ's advent, his advent in the chalice, his advent in the Holy Feast of Nativity that's approaching, his advent in the Holy Scriptures as we reflect on them, his advent in the face of our family and neighbors and our co-workers, even in our enemies. Third heading, a faith that follows, so faith that is working, in working out in love and imitation of the apostles in following Jesus, is the indispensable basis for transcendence. With that, I'm keen to the end of the gospel lesson where Jesus says, if you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Do we actually believe that God is at work? That God can actually bring healing to our spirits, our relationships, to the world? That following Jesus requires that faith, but in a constant renewal of that faith. Do we actually believe that we will see, as we follow Christ, angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man? And for all of us, but maybe especially for me, as a recent convert, the faith that started us on our Orthodox journey must also grow and carry us forward. And I find myself, in the constant struggle of, the person in the gospel said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief, right? I believe, Lord, we believe that if we leave all and follow you, we will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.